Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. It's printed in the bulletin, or you can read it in context on page 763 of your pew Bible. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
On a day when so many are on the verge of leaving home for the very first time, I thought it would be good to think about that in terms of discipleship. And so to begin with, to help you understand the context of the scripture as Jesus has taught the disciples, I'd like you to think about something. Think back to the first time that you were on your own. Might have been like today, where there was a graduation and you went forth to college, or perhaps you went to work. Could have been that you left home when you got married. There's many different ways that we all might do that. But I would like to have you think about that for a moment and think about the feelings that accompanied that. What kind of questions were in your mind? What were you worrying about? How did it change your perspective when you realized that now you were the one making the decisions? You were the one who was more or less in control of the boat. You got to decide which direction that you went. How did you feel knowing that now it was your responsibility to carry on into the future? This is the situation in which the disciples found themselves. For the 12 apostles, the day that Jesus announced his departure was a day of change. It was almost like a day of graduation. That was the day when Jesus announced that he was going to be with the Father. That was the day that Jesus unveiled his plan for the growth, the establishment and the growth of the church that he had established, the foundation being the 12 apostles. It's when Jesus enacted his plan for the faithful that would follow the apostles. And so they had all sorts of questions. Philip had a good one. Couldn't you just show us a little something and help us along? Lord, where are you going? How can we be sure of the future if you're not here? How can we be sure that we can follow you in life or in death? Well, as we study John 14, the first 14 verses today, we can learn things about the heart of a disciple. We can learn things about living in ways that keep your soul in health with God, ways that you can keep your soul in shape for serving the kingdom in your daily living and in whatever way that God has called you. Because these are all very important things. So there's three things that I'd like to offer you today about the heart of a disciple to take away. Firstly, the heart of a disciple is connected to Jesus by the Word of God. Focusing in on verse 14, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." When Jesus ascended, there were two promises to the community of faith that were made and then fulfilled. The first was, great works will accompany those who believe. And the second is that prayers will not only be heard, but will be answered. When he was on earth, Jesus did many works, and those works were based in three things. They were based in humility, and in service, and in love. And whether he was gathering the children round him, or he was speaking to women at the well, or the woman with the issue of blood, or even, I think, when he was speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he was doing so out of concern and out of love for their spiritual condition. By saying that the disciples will do things even greater than these, he's saying something startling and wonderful. He's saying that the prayers of the faithful will be heard and will be acted on. And that's exciting because up to this point, it required the intercession of the synagogue, the intercession of the priests. And now because Jesus is ascending to the Father, the faithful will have direct access. This doesn't mean that the disciples are going to get to do cooler things than Jesus. They're not going to be able to call lightning down or kill fig trees or things like that. What it does mean, though, is that they, as regular people, are all equal in God's family. And they, as regular people, have important work to do. Regular folks like you and me can do things that bring honor and glory to God. And that's exciting. What makes this possible is the bond that exists between God and Christ and humanity. In verse 10, Jesus says, the Father is working in him. And so that because of this, the disciples who follow him will do great things because Christ lives within them. A verse earlier from what we read today in chapter 7, John 37:37-39, explains this in a little more detail. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this, he meant the Spirit from the whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. There's reassurance there, because that means that the connection that we have with Jesus is not dependent upon him being physically present. Even though we've left home and we are serving in places where we don't have our parents to guide us and direct us, we still have that connection with Jesus. And what that means is that you're not alone. It means that as you're serving, you're not alone. You have assistance, you have strength, you have support. If you're in trouble, reach out. The church is here. If you find yourself contemplating something spiritually unhealthy, reach out, because Jesus is here. If you find yourself not knowing what to do, reach out, because Christ is here. If you're at a point in life and you don't know which way to turn or what to do next, the fellowship of the body can help you. So reach out. Jesus is alive and Jesus is here. As he said, "For wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am with them." Jesus is here. A disciple's heart is not troubled. What a wonderful thing that we have Jesus with us. When Jesus says that streams of living water will flow from they who believe in him, he's saying that the faithful will be filled with the passions and with the power of God, and this will give them spiritual strength. This couldn't occur until Jesus had left, though. And the reason why is because if Jesus were still there, they could still be leaning on him. Their faith couldn't come forward into full bloom, and they couldn't take as full of action as they would if they had the Spirit and Jesus were not there to prop them up. Until Jesus ascended, the apostles couldn't become the living carriers of the presence of Jesus in the world, just as we are the living presence of Jesus in the world. And so truly, verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus encourages us to trust and to believe in him, even as we believe in God, and not let our earthly worries get to us. Now, I'm sure you've had experiences as the first disciples did. Have you ever felt like you've lost hope or your faith is not up to the challenge that's before you? Have you ever felt panic at life's uncertainties? Maybe you're kept up nights worrying about money because there's more month than there is money. Maybe you've been biting your nails because you're worried about your child not knowing where he or she is and what they're doing and worrying about that. Maybe you've been on the phone with a friend because you crave advice for a crumbling relationship in your life. And these things are things that we all experience from time to time, and they can and do trouble a heart. They make for a life that is anything but peaceful. But the good news is that it is possible to be a follower of Jesus in such a messed up world. It's possible to heed his commands, and it's possible to do this with an untroubled heart. Jesus not only went ahead to prepare a place for us, Jesus also promised that we are a part of the family of God. And so, as I said, this means that even though Jesus is not physically present, we still have the connection. There's still something to reach out for in the body and beyond. A disciple's heart is fed with Christ. Verses 15 and 16. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. In other words, feed your soul by trusting Christ and living within the Holy Spirit. Feeding your spiritual heart is something that's very important. The Mayo Clinic has been teaching for years about the values of eating breakfast. And I'll stand before you today and confess that I've never been much of a breakfast eater, but I'm becoming one because of the things that I've learned about how much better that is for your heart. The folks at the Mayo have been saying that simple things like eating breakfast and a balanced diet can stave off many serious health problems. And as I read the Bible, the same holds true for us all. Just like healthy nutrition makes a difference for your physical heart, healthy spiritual nutrition makes a big difference. It makes a difference whether or not you're an active disciple. It makes a difference of whether you'll step out in the name of Jesus. It'll make a difference whether you have the joy of the Lord. And you know, that does sound simple, but it's not something that many believers are doing. They don't include Christ in their daily life, and they don't exercise their faith in Christ. And things may be okay for a while, but all of a sudden life throws them a curve, and they're completely knocked off the rails because they're spiritually malnourished. How did this happen? Quite probably because they skipped spiritual meals and in favor of earthly solutions and looking for nourishment in all the wrong places. They're starved for a sense of direction that comes from Christ and the Word. They don't have the peace that only comes from standing on the promises of Jesus. Don't put your faith in the news channels. Don't put your faith in your preferred political tribe thinking that that will provide you with lasting wisdom in a crumbling world. Don't fall into the lies of the glamour industry and begin obsessing about your physical appearance and believe that having control over your body will do the same thing for your soul. Don't let the myth of earthly beauty convince you that your worth is lessened in God's eyes if you don't fit a particular mold. Because none of these things are true. What is true is that you are in God's family and you are loved. And as Christ has loved you and filled you with the Holy Spirit, you have the strength and the ability to go forth and love others in Jesus' name. There's much that we can do. And even though it's not always easy, it is pretty simple. Three things that you can do which help keep your spiritual heart fed with Christ. First of all, simply stay connected to the body. I've talked before about the merits versus the costs of being a Lone Ranger Christian. But when you are disconnected from the body, you're missing out on the good stuff. You have brothers and sisters in the body who can help carry you through the harder times. Sometimes when they're having a hard time, you can help carry them. The body of Christ is a great place to learn, to understand what God's Word says, and to receive inspiration about what God is calling you to do next. God's Word and God's people are essential for a strong heart of faith. And quite often when our hearts are troubled and we feel furthest from Christ, it's simply because we're too far from His Word and His people. These are the places where Jesus has promised He will always be. And so they should be essential and not viewed as an option. Secondly, stay in touch with Jesus through Scripture. Just last week, I was noting that there isn't enough Bible reading going on. Matter of fact, I think I've complained about that 2 weeks in a row, so maybe I better do a little attitude check here. We have to stay in touch with Jesus through Scripture, because the Bible is our first and most important, our essential source of information about Christ and about God and how God has interacted with humanity since the very beginning. And we're living in a culture that loves to know stuff without researching it first. I love some of these emails that I get that go around, which have one or another alarmist things to say about something that's going on somewhere. And I'll go to Snopes or I'll go to factcheck.com and check them out and find out that there is some truth in what's been going around, but not all of it. And it took me less than 10 minutes to figure that out. When you don't read your Bible, when you don't know your Bible, you can be led astray right quick. And we're in a world that has more unfettered access to God's Word than ever in human history. You can read the Bible in hundreds of languages. And if you don't feel like carrying a book around, but you've got a smartphone, you can even get Bibles online. You can read it on your PC. One of my favorite sites is YouVersion. That's youversion.com. And I've got their program on my phone, so if I need a verse and I don't happen to have the good book handy, I still have the Word. There's no reason why any of us should find a reason to not spend a couple minutes a day, at least in the Word, to hear what God is saying and to learn more about how God loves us and how God fills us and how God would have us serve. Thirdly, exercise your faith. And this is probably the most strenuous one of having a healthy heart and soul, because this is the one where you actually take the great commandment that Jesus has given us and put it into action. You remember that one? Go forth and make disciples of all the nations and teach them to obey God's commandments. We need to exercise our faith and put it to the test by pursuing Christ. If your faith is feeling weak, maybe it needs to get off the couch. If you feel like you're not up to facing life's obstacles, maybe it's because you avoid them instead of engaging them. The antidote is to strengthen your faith with opportunities that test it. Maybe there's a difficult conversation that you've been avoiding that really needs to happen. What if you prayed for courage? What if you sought God's people for advice and approached the situation with an open heart? What might Jesus do in that situation? What if you searched God's Word to find out what Jesus thinks of people who are different from you and then stretched your horizons by being among them? What if you stopped thinking of ways to stay where you are in life and asked God where He would like you to go? And if this gives you the collie wobblies, you're not alone. Every day, there are millions, perhaps even billions, who feel some of these stretching pains as their stress in life rises or relationships get rough and money gets tight and health presents you with challenges. There's millions and billions that feel this in their souls as God pushes and prods and pulls and encourages you to grow. When was the last time you shared your faith with somebody who was not a Christian? I tell you, that's one right there that can really push your boundaries. But some of the most rewarding experiences come from that. And I can't count the number of times when I found myself in a potentially hostile conversation and we ended up talking and nobody got hurt and seeds for God were planted in that person's heart. So above all, don't let your hearts be troubled. Jesus is alive, Jesus is with you, and he's calling. So go forth with the heart of a disciple to live and serve and love in Jesus' name. Amen.